I'm gonna ring a little bit. I'll let them get that out before I get rolling here. You know, it's so funny. A lot of people don't like to see that kind of stuff. You know why you don't like to see it? Because you don't want to admit it. Can I stand somewhere else? I'll stand right here. Can you bring me down, just really down, Stephen? Thank you. Let me just tell you, that's fine right there. I can yell. That's good. We got some new microphones, and we're still trying to figure them out. So that's why, thank God for the new microphones. And so we're trying to figure those out. But that's perfect right there, mister. Thank you very much. Here's what we need to understand. And sometimes the brutality of what happened, we don't want to look at. But what I wanted you to see through that video was that's what happened for those 3 hours of darkness. The perfect, sinless one took on sin so that the perfect sinner all the time one could be declared sinless. I wouldn't do that for you. I told you before, I don't think I'd even break my leg for you. Maybe I might break my leg for you. But anyway, I just said all that to say this. This is a little bit different service today, by the way. It's Palm Sunday. Again, we're just 5 days away from Good Friday that turns into next Sunday, which is Easter. And we could have shown you some cute little videos about bring people to Easter. Just bring people to Easter. Come on. But today I want to look back at a prophecy that was spoken by Zechariah. Now, Zechariah actually wrote this prophecy I'm going to share with you 516 years prior to Jesus being coming to this earth. And Zechariah was known as what's called a minor prophet. I'm sure you've heard of minor and major prophets. By the way, the only reason they're called minor and major is because the minor prophets didn't have as much stuff in there as the major prophets. For instance, Isaiah and Jeremiah, big books. Zechariah and those little books, so they're known as the minor prophets. It doesn't make any less important. But Zechariah's whole purpose of his ministry, of his prophetic ministry, was to get the lazy people of Jerusalem off their backsides to go and rebuild the temple. And so he would proclaim things. He was spot on with his prophecies, which is why he was a great prophet. But incorporated right in the midst of it, of this whole thrust to get these lazy people to rebuild the temple, he prophesied concerning Jesus. And here's the scripture. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So we fully understand that that has to do with Palm Sunday today, right? Because he did come in on this donkey. And if you look at this, it's pretty cool that he prophesied that so clearly 516 years prior to Jesus coming. But other than that, it's just kind of plain, isn't it? Until you start digging into it. And when you start digging into it, there's something that shifts. And in my time of preparation, I paused one day and I texted my wife and I said, I would suggest that you tell any woman that's going through it to be here on Sunday morning. So she sent that out to you ladies. I don't know if all you got it, but you're here. The ones that are here, they're your ladies. And then, of course, typical female is, well, what's going through? What do you mean going through? Come on. Here's what I want. Here's what I want you to hear very clearly, and I want to make this very clear, because this has only happened, to my knowledge, one other time when the Lord had, for those of you who might know who Vern Jackson is, had Vern Jackson here, and the Lord gave me this real specific word for him. And I just kind of told the church congregation, this word's for him, but y'all need to receive from it, because you can. Oh, Dick Mills, the prophet, he used to always say that. You just receive it all. But I want you to know in the studies of this, as I was studying this, as you understand the Hebrew language, because that's what this is written in, is the Hebrew language, as you understand it, sometimes when it was written daughter, son, male, or female, it was just a generic term. But in this specific case, he used the literal word for daughter, for the female. And that really jumped in my spirit, and then the Lord just began to show me some stuff as I began to dig this out. I say all that to say this. If you are here this morning, and I'm fixing to make you move, if you are here this morning, ladies, and you have been in a dry place, a barren place, a place of desert, a place of no fruitfulness coming out of your life, if people have come against you, if circumstances have been overwhelming lately, if this is you, I want you to come up here and join me in the front, because I want you to be able to pay attention to this is a specific word for those people like that. And by the way, those of you who it's not specific to, it will be specific to you too, because it's God and Jesus. So if that's, well, there you go. Y'all are moving already. I like that. I like that. You don't have to sit by your husbands. That's probably good. I think it's quite obvious that I haven't missed the mark on this message. Welcome, if you're a guest here today, to Palm Sunday. Here's my palm. It's Sunday. It's all you get. No, I'm kidding. We're actually using the scripture from Palm Sunday. I just love God. I just love Him and the way that He does His work. So, here's this simple scripture. I broke it down, but let me just show you the next thing. I'll show you how I do my work. I get all the Hebrew words, and I put them where they belong so that I can try to figure out the meaning of it. And the reason I say that is because I've always said this, and you've heard me say it a million times. The English language is a lazy language. We have one word for love. The Greek has four words for love. So I love tacos, I love you, I love you, you see what I'm saying? There's four different words. So I've always said it's a lazy language. So when you go into original language, either Hebrew, which is the Old Testament, or Greek, which is the New Testament. Right now we're in the Old Testament, so that would be Hebrew. There's a plethora, big word. There's a bunch of meaning in individual words. So what I have done, as you have seen me do in the past when I break down the word, I've broken it down, but I've taken this one verse and I've broken it down in four ways. And here's the first part of it, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe. There it is. No. No. Yes. Stop right there. Don't move. This is what it says in the original language as you understand it. You ready? Be glad and tremble with abundant joy, you daughter, adopted daughter of a barren and dusty desert. Those two do not go hand in hand. Joy and desert. You get it? Rejoicing and desert. Those don't go together at all. I have to stay on point today. So you be glad and tremble with abundant joy, you daughters, adopted daughter. Don't you love that? Just in case you think you're a stepchild, He's incorporating us in that. You get it. I just love the way that this is written. So ladies, gentlemen, here's your word for today. There are areas where you have been dry and alone, with apparently no nourishment provided, barren, with no ability to bring forth life. People and circumstances have stopped you from your intimacy with Jesus. Wait a minute. Like Martha, cooking in the kitchen while Jesus is in the other room, life stuff has blocked you. He says, it's time to be happy and to literally shake with joy is what that means. He's coming in on a donkey, but he's coming out like a lion. Next part of this, I broke this into four parts. Shout and applaud in your victory over your enemy. You don't feel like you're sitting in victory. You don't have victory in your life. There's no victory to be found. But yet, even Zechariah, 516 years and 5 days, before Jesus did his thing, said, "Shout and applaud in victory over your enemy, you daughter, adopted daughter." I keep incorporating that because here's what happens. Ladies or gentlemen, we feel like we're a stepchild, though God does tell us he adopts us. And what I love about adoption is we get to pick. You hear what I'm saying? I didn't get to pick my children. Unless you adopt a child, then you get to pick them. So if you're an adopted person in here today, man, you should shout. Your parents want you. I'm still not certain about my own. So you daughter adopted, as you abide in the knowledge and the understanding of unconditional peace. What does that mean? Unconditional peace. We always talk about grace and its unconditional favor, and agape is unconditional love. What does unconditional peace mean? It means that you walk in peace. Listen to me. That you walk in peace no matter what the situation is. There is peace that is available to you, and you walk in it. When you understand it, it's unconditional. No conditions can shake that peace. It's as simple as when Jesus was asleep in the midst of the storm and the boys went and woke him up to calm the sea. The most powerful thing to me in that story is not the fact that he calmed the sea, it's the fact that he slept in the storm. You can sleep in the storm. That's what he's telling you. As you abide in the knowledge and the understanding of unconditional peace, composure, what's that? That's when you don't yell when you could. Composure is keeping yourself together, isn't it? Composure is saying, man, I can do this. But yeah, instead of walking in that, you don't know what I'm going through. The whole point of this, ladies and gentlemen, girls, boys, everybody, is this. You have got to focus on him and not you. Or better yet, him and not that stupid jerk guy. Or that stupid, for the fellas, that stupid girl. Get what I'm saying? I've said it a million different ways. This is Zechariah in his Old Testament ways. Just throws this out there in the midst of telling them to get off their lazies and go work. As you abide in the knowledge and understanding of unconditional peace, composure, and tranquility. What's the difference between peace and tranquility? Peace is the ability to stay still in the midst of the storm. Tranquility is just calmness and stillness beyond our understanding. That's why he says, I will give you peace that you won't understand. Other people won't understand it either. I'm telling you, they won't. They'll think you're crazy. A lot of people will say, you're not dealing with issues because you're walking in peace. I say, walk in peace and forget what people are saying. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Part of being at peace with all men is being at peace with yourself. You will never be at peace with yourself if you feel like you have got to somehow measure up to some kind of fake standard that somebody told you God has. Because he doesn't have that standard. Somebody's created it for you. In tranquility. So here's my... I just wrote a word. So let me make sure I'm not ahead of myself. That was shout and applaud. Here's your word for the day. Your victory and success has been firmly established over your enemy. You are not fighting for victory. You are fighting from a place of victory. When Jesus said, finished, he actually said it in Greek. Tetelestai! That means it's done. You start from that. So you're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. So your victory and success have been firmly established over your enemy. You thought the people around you or the situation in front of you was causing your collapse and your embarrassment and your failure. You simply must live in the knowing of his provision. And walk in the peace of his silence concerning you. What am I saying? Sometimes he shuts up for a reason. Sometimes when you're walking, there's those times where it's like, God, he's silent. And you won't ever hear him in the midst of the hustle and bustle, ladies. You just won't. Fellas, everybody in here, you just won't hear him. In the midst, you got to get out of the kitchen and go where he is. But he speaks in his silence sometimes. I think of Elijah when, you know, Elijah had seen some crazy, crazy things, you know, where he called fire down from heaven and he raised a woman's son dead and just all these crazy miracles. And then God calls him into the mountain and he goes out and the Lord creates this huge earthquake and he can't hear God and he's a big thing and he can't hear God. And all of a sudden the Bible says that it was in the stillness of the moment that God spoke. So when you do chill, though, sometimes you need to just rest in his silence. Because like it or not, whether he's speaking or not, he's in control. He's in control. Thank God he's in control. So let me finish this. So simply, you must simply live in the knowing of his provision and walk in the peace of his silence concerning you. And then I wrote this because this is what this means in this scripture. It's time that you put your hands together and holler. That's exactly what it means. Clap and yell. Woo-hoo-hoo! Because he's coming in on it. Now, I just added all this because it came to me. Because he's coming in on a donkey and coming out like a lion. I love that, actually. That's part two. Number three. Here's the third part of this whole scripture. Observe, consider. There's a difference between observation and consideration. You understand. When you observe something, you see it. When you observed last year Dak Prescott, the new Dallas Cowboy quarterback, you observed him, right? But when you considered him and the skill set that he had, if you're a Cowboy fan, you got kind of happy. If you're a Redskins fan, you didn't. So he's saying, observe, take what you observe and consider it. And then what does he say? Believe. You observe the fact of what Jesus did on the cross for you. You've heard me say it a million, million times. You observe it, then you consider it. That's where we get stuck, because in the consideration, girls, in the consideration, we don't feel worthy of what he did for us. We didn't earn it. There's nothing we can do. So if you get stuck in the consideration, you'll never get to the belief part. Observe him. Observe what he did. Consider it, as I helped you with, hopefully, a little bit in that little video. I'm trying to hit every angle I can to show you what Jesus did for you. And then once you consider it, he says, believe that your royal king is, without a doubt, 516 years later, coming to abide with you. You're more fortunate than Zechariah, ladies. He never got to see it happen. Well, he's got to see it happen from heaven. But he's pronounced this. He's coming without a doubt. He's coming to live with you. The song talked about this morning, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in. Do you not see the power in that? I can't raise nothing from the dead. Squash an ant. I can't fix it. You hear what I'm saying? It's impossible. You can't do it. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Wow. So let me get back to this word. So here's your word for the day. Focus on what you know, what you've learned, and what you've experienced is true concerning Jesus. Well, he's never, don't go there with he's never, because he has. I promise you, I can look from this day backwards, and he has never been unfaithful to me. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. I've even done stupid, and he's helped me through that. When I made a stupid purchase or said a stupid thing or whatever. Hear what I'm saying. So what you do, again, let me get back to what I'm saying. You focus on what you know, what you've learned and experienced that is true concerning Jesus. And also, what's true concerning, not what's false concerning Jesus. There's tons of false teaching about Jesus out there. And anybody that tries to tell you got to do something to earn his little love, forget it. That's false. That's fake. That is not true. In fact, that tells me that he was crippled instead of crucified for us. When he said it's finished, he meant it. He meant it. It's done. It's over. So, let me finish this. Sorry. So focus on what you know, what you've learned and experienced is true concerning Jesus. Mull it over. Search it out. Pursue it. Instead of trying to fix the situation you're in with the people, you can't fix people. Have you not figured that out yet? You can't make them do nothing. You can't straighten them out. You cannot fix them. And ladies, more ladies than gentlemen are fixers. I'm not going to look up because I don't want to look at anybody in particular. You notice how I have my eyes closed? There's something in our nature that wants to fix. There's nothing in our nature that can fix. So, let me finish this. I keep getting stuck. Mull it over, search it out, and pursue it. Pursue what? Jesus, what He has done, how He loves you. And when doubt creeps in, declare who He is and what He's done for you. Man, I got this bill and I can't pay this bill. But you know what? I remember the day where that $100 bill blew up right up underneath my car and I picked it up and it was mine. Now, don't do like some. I had a guy who used to go here years ago. Came up to me and he said, you know, I haven't been tithing. And I don't, by the way, I don't look at records. I don't know if you tithe. I know if you tithe or not just by your lifestyle, sure. It's kind of like if you overeat, it's kind of obvious. People who don't give, their car breaks down all the time. So anyway, that's a whole different story. But he came and he said, you know, I don't tithe. He said, yeah, but he said, I just want you to know, man, God blessed me today. I said, really? He said, yeah, I found some money. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, where were you? He said, man, I was driving down the side of the road and there was this bank bag had $300 in it. And I said, was anybody's name in the bank bag? Oh, yeah. And you took the money? Oh, yeah. And he walked off, and I'm like, wow. So then he comes back a little bit later. I just want you to know I'm going to tithe on that money. Well, I just want you to know you should give it back to the guy who dropped it. That's not God blessing you, ladies and gentlemen. But there are those times where the enemy comes in, you just remind him, hey, God did this here, He'll do this here, and we'll do it again. So when doubt creeps in, declare, I'm going to start from the top and try to make it through it. Focus on what you know, what you've learned and experienced is true concerning Jesus. Mull it over, search it out, pursue it. Quit pursuing other stuff. When doubt creeps in, declare He is what He is and what He has done for you. And when you do, there will be no confusion and there will be no disbelief that He not only cares and understands, but that He's involved in all your circumstances. It's true. Truly, He's coming in on a donkey and coming out like a lion. That was part three. Here's the last part, but we're not quite done. Don't get excited that you're going to get out and eat before the atheist. He is vindicated and victorious, perfect in character and conduct, and equipped with liberation, deliverance, and forgiveness. He is modest, simple, and unassuming, and riding on a male... I just think it's funny how Zechariah is so hit that. He's riding in on a male donkey, even on a young donkey, the male offspring of a female donkey. He wanted you to know he was going to be on a young male donkey. Here's your word for the day. No matter your situation, His perfect love and behavior toward you. See, everybody in here say this. His love toward me. Don't say towards Steve. Towards me. Yes. Say the word me. Yes. His love towards me, because some of us don't believe that. His love towards me. So no matter your situation, His perfect love and behavior toward you comes from, watch this, comes from His position of acquittal and conquest, not yours. He has been acquitted and He has conquered. You will never be acquitted in your mind nor from Satan, because HaSatan's His name, and that's His name means accuser. You will always be accused. But if you will learn to point it in the right direction, When the accuser comes in and he has all these accusations concerning you, all you have to do is tell him to sit where you're in Jesus' lap and just ask Jesus to put up that hand and just say, talk to the hand. You hear what I'm saying? Listen, man, this is not playing, because you guys are in serious situations. I get this. I'm not playing here. But where you got to grab this ain't about you, man. This is about him and his care and his love for you, and that hasn't changed. I don't give a rip who has been influenced in your life, nor the circumstances that you're in. It does not matter. It didn't matter to Zechariah 516 years before Jesus came in on the donkey, and he proclaimed this beautiful thing that if we would just, somebody, one of them translators would have taken the time to dig out. Let me finish this. So no matter your situation, his perfect love and behavior towards you comes from his position of acquittal and conquest, not yours. He's already accomplished all he needs concerning you and has provided your freedom from your past, your deliverance for your present, and your pardon for your future. I'll say it again, because I like the way he writes through me sometimes. He's already accomplished all he needs concerning you. That's stuck in me, guys. He's accomplished all concerning you, every avenue, every angle. Even if you're looking for a husband, but not if you're looking to get rid of one. He's already accomplished his needs concerning you and has provided your freedom from your past, your deliverance from your present, and your pardon for your future, though he seems reserved, plain, and ordinary to most. He's coming in on a donkey, but coming out like a lion, and the Lion of Judah has already risen. Amen. We are on the backside of this prophecy. Do you not see this? Do you not see how powerful this is? At 516 years before Jesus even came, that Zechariah had enough sense to proclaim how awesome God is and how good Jesus is and how he is for you and not against you? So here's the summary of this word today. It's pretty simple. Maybe. Yes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, over daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He's just and endowed with salvation, humble, mounted on a donkey, even a colt and donkey. Blah, blah, blah. We just keep reading so we can get past Zechariah and go to something we can understand. Here's my SVV version. SVV, what does that stand for? Steve Van Zandt Vetted. That charity came up with that. She's trying to get me to write a book with these in it. All right, girls, this is it. The whole thing total, because I broke it down to four parts. I want to put it all together so you get it. Be glad and tremble with abundant joy, you daughter. I love this. You daughter, adopted daughter of a barren, dusty desert. Be glad in your desert. Be happy. Shout down. Woohoo! Shout and applaud in victory over your enemy, you adopted daughter, as you abide in the knowledge and the understanding of unconditional peace, composure, and tranquility. Observe, consider, and believe that your royal king is, without a doubt, coming to abide with you. He is vindicated and victorious, perfect in character and conduct, and equipped with liberation, deliverance, and forgiveness. He is modest, simple, and unassuming, and riding on a male donkey, even on a young donkey, the male offspring of a female donkey. But we're not done yet, because there's really more. I want to go back to where I left off last Sunday. Remember last Sunday we talked about how they were going to kill Lazarus? And I said they'd have to go on a killing spree. Let's go there. So when all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, this was Jesus' arrival at Martha and Mary's house, they flocked to see him and also to see Lazarus, the man Jesus had raised from the dead. Then the leading priest decided to kill Lazarus too, we talked about, for it was because of him that many of the people had deserted them. and believed in Jesus. The next day, the triumphal entry. Okay? Remember how I talked about last week? I wanted to get to this week. Here we are. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept throughout the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. And they shouted, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We're going to kill him in 5 days." They didn't say that part. "Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, this is directly from Zechariah, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." It's also in a couple of the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Let me find out where I'm at here. I don't want to get... So, we're going to take that scripture because it was taken from Zechariah. Yet, Zechariah is written in Hebrew, which, by the way, speaking of that, Zechariah means Jehovah remembers. His counterpart in the New Testament would be Baptist John's dad, Zacharias, with an S instead of an H. And his name means, I want to get it just right, he who God remembers. Yes. Remembered of Jehovah. So you have Zechariah in the Old Testament, who means Jehovah remembers, and then you have in the New Testament Zacharias, and it says remembered of God. Isn't it weird? So here we are, 516 years later, and we're going to break down this scripture. Simple scripture. There's all the stuff, like the word phobia, because that's where the word phobia comes from. This word fear is in Greek. You can go to the next part. They don't need to see all that. Here it is. We're going to stay right there for a second. Here's what he's saying right there. Do not be alarmed, terrified, shocked, or surprised. God's accepted and approved daughter of a barren, dusty desert. Wait a minute. There's two significant things right here that just shifted, isn't there? The first one is, he, instead of saying, rejoice in your desert, he's saying, man, don't be alarmed, don't be terrified, don't be shocked or surprised in the midst of whatever storm you are. Why did he shift from rejoice to do not fear? I'm going to give you my opinion. My opinion is, 516 years earlier when Zechariah said, rejoice in the midst of your storm, basically, nobody did. And for 516 years, nobody did. And if you haven't rejoiced in your spirit concerning God for 516 seconds, you're going to walk in fear. I'm telling you, rejoice in the Lord always, the Bible says, and again I say rejoice. But that's so fake, is it? Is it? Not if you know the one that I know. I don't fake rejoicing in Him. I rejoice in Him. Those times where fear does want to come a part of me, I'm not going to let it happen. Because I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice, such a Christian word. I'm trying to think of a better word. I'm going to be happy. There's a difference between joy and happiness. You know that, right? I'm going to be happy in the Lord. Don't worry, be happy. I would sing that for you, but my wife won't let me. So the first point is, he changed from rejoice. Well, let me just read it. He went from rejoice to don't fear. Don't fear when you're in the desert. Listen, until you can start rejoicing, you will fear. And if you want to get out of fear, you start rejoicing. What do you mean by rejoice? I mean set all your agenda aside. I mean set it all aside. Put your phone down, your texting, all your social media, set it aside. Turn off the praise music. Leave it alone. Get alone with Him and just begin to remember. I'll tell you, one of the most powerful things that has been happening for me for about the last 4 months is I've been taking communion every day. And that is in total no noise. And every day it is different. But every day there is this thing that's happening in me that I got no words. Believe it or not, Steve got no words. But there's something going on. And it's an assurance. It's a knowing. It's a, when I taught, men, guys, I want to set you free. When I taught that last part of Psalms 91, where he says he will satisfy you with long life, and I broke that down for you, listen, you need to grab that, because he said he will satisfy us with long life. And I love what the Apostle Paul said. When he was at the end of his days, he said, man, I'm done. I'm fixing to go home. Why? Because Paul was satisfied. Do you get what I'm saying? When I'm not satisfied yet, so I'm not going anywhere. Do you hear me? There's going to be a day where I can look up at God and say, you know what, God, I'm satisfied. Let's do this thing. And like Jerry Falwell, I'll have a massive heart attack or whatever. I don't care. The bottom line is there's so much power in your belief system. That jumped into my spirit, and I've been in my communion with God. I've been seeing that. I will satisfy you. And let me tell you something. Satisfaction doesn't mean we're in bad health either, does it? Because I want to be satisfied. I'm not satisfied if I'm always sick and stuff. You get it. But it's all tied into what I honestly believe, and what I honestly believe is tied into what I've pondered, and what I've pondered is tied into what Jesus has done for me, or it's tied into what other people are doing to me in the situation I'm in. You get it? I was gonna say, the only regret I have is I didn't get this earlier on in my life. I enjoyed life, but not like I enjoy it now. That's what it is. Okay, so let me get on point, because I always stay on point. So he said, from rejoice to don't fear. So your word of the day right there, ladies and gentlemen, 516 years of no rejoicing will always bring fear and doubt. Even a few weeks without it can be devastating. The enemy can steal everything I got, but he can't steal my song. You got it? He can't steal my song. The second point in that part that shifted and changed, it went from daughter, adopted daughter, to accepted and approved daughter. How many times do I have to try to explain to you that you are loved and accepted and valued? How many different angles has to be said for us to understand that Jesus did this crazy thing on the cross for us? The resurrection was a piece of cake compared to what happened on the cross. The in-between from the cross to the resurrection, when he went down to Satan, took the keys, I wish I had a stinking photo of that or a video. That would have been cool to see him go down there, Satan's jumping up and down, having a party because he thought he was dead. Can you see it, man? Jesus walks up and says, give them to me. Those keys, yeah. Death, hell, oh, don't. The grave one, too. The keys to death, hell, and the grave. Do you not get that power of that? Jesus now has the keys where Satan had them this whole time before he died. Jesus now has the keys to death, to hell, and to the grave. I would trust him with those keys a lot better than I would you. Or me, for example. Because that key to hell would be open all the time for y'all. Yeah, you too, you're getting there. Yeah. I wouldn't even lock it. It would be like Vegas. They don't have any doors in Vegas. You know that, right? Those casinos, they don't have doors. They're 24-7, 700 years. And yet people always will tell you how much they win in Vegas, really. If all those people that I heard won in Vegas, Vegas would be bankrupt. And they look like they're doing pretty well. Because they don't tell you the bad stories. They only hear the good stories. I'm fixing a rabbit trail real quick, and I'm going to anyway. Years ago, I was at a card table watching this about 90-year-old guy, and he hit four of a kind on a Let It Ride table. It paid him about $8,000. He went crazy. He's an old guy, right? So we all went crazy. Man, that's so awesome. And he was just, and he won. He tipped the guy, and he cashed in. He left, and we all clapping and stuff. And the dealer looks at me and says,
I don't know why he's so happy. I took 10 grand from him last night. But you ain't going to hear the story about the 10 grand. You're going to hear the story about, I won! Sorry, I left that alone. So, from daughter to accepted and approved daughter. Here's your word of the day, ladies. In the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your barrenness, listen, I'm here to proclaim to you, and I've only done this one other time in my life. And if you are here today and you have been told you cannot have children or you don't think you can have children, I'm telling you, there is a thing that God does. We had a couple in Oklahoma that the Lord, we prayed over them, and they hadn't been able to have children for 8 years. And right now their kids are, they got two when they're in their 20s. Do they have three? They're in their 20s. So I'm here to proclaim this to you. This is only the second time, to my knowledge, that I've ever done that. So if you've been barren, physically, I'm talking about barren. Yes, of course, emotionally and all those. I can sense and see the barrenness and the dryness in the desert. But I also know where the water supply is. And it's abundant. And it will flood you and fill your nose and you'll drown. But you'll have a smile on your face. Somebody go out there, do a meme. Drown in Jesus. He'll put a smile on your face. So here's my word of the day for you ladies. In the midst of your turmoil, whether you choose to believe it or not, you are accepted and approved by Him, and nothing can ever change that. Nothing. He loves you with an unfailing love. He did all of that craziness for you, and if it was you and you alone, He still would have done it. I don't understand it, but that's what He did. And then the last part of this scripture, we go back to the little donkey. It's all about the donkey. There it is. Recognize. Examine. Notice how similar this is. Recognize, examine, discern. In other words, you know what discernment is, right? It, ladies, is some ladies call it the women's intuition. When you know something just ain't right, my wife really has this one. My kids would do something wrong, she would know. She would like go walk in the room and know. She would look, and they go, what? I'm going to look under your bed. No, 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 no. I don't know why all children, including me, hid stuff under the bed or between the bed. It's the first place we look. There's something in that, but that's what that word discern means. You recognize what Jesus did. You examine the fact that if it's true, and you know it is, if you've been around here very long, and you discern, you sense and know the difference between the enemy and the enemy in Jesus. And let me tell you, one of the greatest ways to do that is to hang with Jesus a lot, because we know the voice of the enemy. A lot of times we think it's just us, but it's the enemy. We just don't know His way. It's like if my phone rings and you call me and I don't know you, and you call me, what's your name, man? Yeah, you're Randy. And Randy calls me on the phone. I'm like, this is Steve. Hey, this is Randy. Randy who? I have a cousin named Randy. You see what I'm saying? Because I don't know you. If my wife calls, I say hello. She'll say hello. I go, hello, okay? And she'll, why? Because I know her voice. You get it? Man, that's all the key about hanging with them. That's how you'll discern. I'll help you with it. Anything that comes to your mind that's ugly is not from Jesus. It's not from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't beating you on the head to convict you. The Holy Spirit, the word conviction literally means to help you understand, almost like repentance, almost like metono, to help you understand. And He's never heavy-handed, ever, ever, ever. But the enemy is. The enemy will tell you all kinds of stuff. So, let me finish this out. Oh, I'm up here. Recognize, examine, discern, and believe that your Lord, the commander and sovereign king, is established, rising up and on His way, seated and established on a donkey's young offspring. And by the way, that was the story wasn't written then, but the scenario was 5 days before it happened. So this is after the fact. So let's just change that a little bit and say his king is established. He's risen up and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. The word says ever interceding for you. What does that mean? Going to bat for you. The time the enemy comes in, Hasatan, he comes in and he accuses. Jesus is like, shut up. And God's over there, not guilty. It really is that simple. If you believe, you hear me. The biggest key is belief. But man, once you get there, come hell or high water, you will be seen through it. So here's my conclusion. Just like you, the disciples didn't understand at the time. This is the very end of that scripture that we just read. After he talked about the donkey, his disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him. Hindsight is really 20/20, isn't it? I'm trying to give you some foresight so that you have something to grasp in the midst of your storm. Which, by the way, ladies, I firmly believe what I'm speaking is true. This dryness for you is over today. It's over today. And the situation might not change. The mean people might not change. It's not the point. It's over today because the battle is inside of you, not with these other people. The word says it very clear. You're not fighting against flesh and blood, guys. You're fighting against principalities and power. And now I've exposed for you, hopefully, the fact that the enemy and his little power and his little minions are done. You have power over this. So his disciples didn't understand. So here's my final word for you today, and it's that scripture, and then I'll read a little bit and I'm done. This is it all put together. So do not be alarmed, terrified, shocked, or surprised, God's accepted and approved daughter of a barren and dusty desert. See, you think God put the barrenness and the dustiness and the desert on you. Why would he do that? Don't be silly. Recognize, examine, discern, and believe your Lord, Commander, and Sovereign King is established, rising up, or has risen up, and is on his way, already seated, and established on a donkey's young offspring. So here's my final word of the day for you folks. Don't be dismayed, panicked, or uncertain concerning your needs for the moment. You are loved, valued, accepted, and approved by the one who matters most, and nothing or no one can take that from you. Like the disciples, you might be in the midst of seeming confusion and feel like there's no way out. Be encouraged. He understands, he knows where you are, and he knows what's necessary to complete the task. Immerse yourself, bathe yourself, soak yourself in him and his loving care for you, and never forget, he's coming in on a donkey, but he's coming out like a lion. Amen.
Would everyone stand with me this morning? What I'd like for us to do is to make that declaration. And the declaration that we need to make, God so beautifully has already tied it together, is what Steve brought to us. When the enemy comes in, you know what you're supposed to say? Watch me.
Just watch me.
Watch me. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So what I'd like for all of us, really all of us to do, is just put your hands up on your ears. Thank you for doing that. Father, we just cover our ears right now from giving more credit to what the world says than what you say. God, our spirits are poisoned from the things, God, that people have taught us or tried to teach us about how we need to be involved in what you want to do for us. So today, Father, I just speak, it is well with my soul. It's well with my soul. And I stand in agreement right now, Father. My ears will hear the word of the Lord, and I will speak the word of the Lord. My issues will not be the world's issues. My issues are yours, that I will be at peace, and you have already conquered for me, and I will be victorious from a position of victory and not fighting to get to it. I'm at the finish line. Can you just declare that? I'm at the finish line, and he has won the victory. Watch me. Thank you, Father God. Today, Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we're letting this word just sink in deep. We just thank you, God, that your Spirit's going to move, and you will speak and set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to ask you, for you ladies who are down here, we're just going to go through and we're just going to pray for each one. And then I just want to ask those of you who are in here, if you feel led to just come and pray with someone, do that. But be sure that you love one another before you leave. Amen.